All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show, and we've got Mel Fabregas on the show, and everybody knows Mel from Veritas Radio. And we've had him on our other shows before and talked about his bio and his background, but we have so much information here. I want to skip all that and just get down to the nitty-gritty. So there's so many things happening on the planet right now. So Mel, are you with us?
I'm with you. Always a pleasure being with you, James.
Oh boy. You know, I wish you were here last night because we had about, oh, probably 8 or 9 people standing out in the field. And we had the most beautiful golden ship fly right over the group and light the whole sky up. It was just amazing.
Oh,
And,
interesting you say that. I've received a few emails today from people around the world, especially somebody right now in Toledo, Spain, telling me that they're seeing their very first UFOs. Something is happening, James, don't you think?
Oh, you know, it's just exponential. It's happening around the world, and you know that because we have that interdimensional communication that we've been working with, I've never seen so many different groups coming in right now. You know, everything from humans to felines to you name it, you know, are starting to come in, and for looks like one just giant universal party getting ready to happen.
Right.
What if now you've got a lot of guests on your show, and I know I'd love to hear what you've gleaned from their information concerning, you know, maybe 2012 or all the UFO activity or who's who in the universe, wherever you want to go, it's up to you.
It's interesting that before we started, folks, James asked me, you know, where would you like to go? And I told him anywhere in the universe. So I have to tell you, this has been such a roller coaster ride in the last couple of years with Veritas and all the support we've received around the world, that it's very difficult for me to look at one guess and say who's better than the next. But if we can talk about, for example, 2012, that's a meme out there. Many people are expecting something, especially the religious people seem to be expecting something. And then we get all this talk about, you know, all the natural disasters happening, earthquakes, tornadoes, you name it, that it's very difficult to ignore that something may be indeed happening. But the most important thing is not to live in fear. We had, for example, let's talk about one of my guests, John Major Jenkins, who you probably know. He basically did a lot of research for the last 20 years. He went to Central America, he went to Mexico, and he studied everything that had to be studied about the Mayans and the Aztecs. And essentially, it's what most people like you and I talk about. It's a circle. It's a cycle. It's the end, the ending of an age and the beginning of another one. But James, you know that there's always profit to be made by many. And you get just like you had in the year 1998, 1999, the Y2K industry popped along, and of course, nothing happened. I think the same thing is happening here. They're all talking about you need to build your underground facility. I get phone calls at least every couple of weeks from people who care about me, who say, "Mel, you need to move out of the desert. You need to move to the mountains. You need, or if you're staying, you need to start taking water from your pool and putting it under your bed." You know, it's very hard to discern. It's a minefield of information out there, and you have to be centered and just get a lot of the information from within. What is your mind telling you? Do you really believe everything you see in the news? I don't think so.
You know, I just sent out a link on that called Digital Deception, and it shows how they, you know, have these blue screens and green screens, and they show all these events, and you know, and they look like newscasts and things like that, and you know, then they flip back to show you what's really there, and it's just amazing. You know, they'll show huge ocean liners on fire, you know, and fire tugboats spraying them with water and on burning, smoke billowing up and everything else, and it's all done digitally, and it's not really happening at all, and you know, and we're seeing all of these photographs of Bin Laden, you know, that have been doctored and faked, and coming out, and it's just one thing after another. And then the birth certificate, which was a total farce, you know, according to everybody that looked at it. But, you know, what's your take on that? It just seems like we're just in this one big, we're just living this big lie that's unfolding as we speak.
Well, I remember the week before, at the end of April, actually, I saw in the news that they were talking about how Al-Qaeda was threatening the United States and NATO, that if they captured Osama bin Laden, they would attack with, you know, whatever you want to call them, micronukes or you know, however they what's the term, suitcase nuke bombs.
Oh, yeah.
What happened in a few days later, May 11th? Well, we know what happened. May the 1st, actually. Let's not forget that Hitler was pronounced dead by the Germans on May 1st. And a lot of information is coming out now. As a matter of fact, speaking of my guests, in the next few weeks, I'll have Peter Lavenda on, an expert in a lot of the Nazi Project Paperclip and a lot of those who left to South America and even Antarctica. Uh-huh. Well, we've been talking about Hitler not having killed himself, committed suicide in 1945, and a lot of information came out recently that the DNA from the skull, the result came out as one being from a woman. So that's another one. But we recently heard from the vault, I think it was called the vault from the FBI, where a lot of memos are coming out that Hitler was actually in South America, and there are memos from J. Edgar Hoover. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just wanted to put a parallel here with what we're being fed now about Osama bin Laden. I found this very, very funny in many ways. There's something called the gullible mind. Mm-hmm. When people out there look at the authority, at the person who's talking, whether it's the president or a priest or somebody with a garb that you look at and they have the authority in your mind, people tend to believe what they're saying. You need to stop that and be a free thinker. Analyze the integrity of the information before you can make a decision in your mind and say, yes, I really believe that Osama bin Laden was being killed. Whether he was or he wasn't, I don't know. But I can tell you that after November, I think it was November, 2 months after the attacks, the alleged attacks in 2001, I never saw one single piece of footage from Osama bin Laden that convinced me that he was still alive. Whether the United States kept him, he was killed, and they, as many are saying now, they froze him, and they were going to use him in the future in an opportune moment to leverage the scenario. And as you very well said, President Obama was suffering from the lowest ratings in his incumbents. The birth certificate seemed to never go away until a few days ago. Standard & Poor's, the credit rating agency, just proclaimed that the United States has a new rating. It's a negative rating, which can only continue propelling the dollar's demise. China is threatening to cash on their foreign reserves, one-third of them. All that put together can mean the end of the U.S. economy as a superpower as we know it. And then all of a sudden, President Obama comes along and says, we killed Osama bin Laden. Something else I found today, James, somebody sent me a video of President Obama arriving in Air Force One with his family in Cape Canaveral, I think it was, because of the space shuttle. And he was seen putting his hand in his pocket and shaking the hand of an Air Force person who came to meet him. I believe he was a general. Mm-hmm. And he's giving the person what looks to be a piece of paper. And the Air Force person puts the hand in another pocket and gives something else back to President Obama. All of a sudden, the space shuttle mission is canceled. I wonder what was on that piece of paper, James.
Yeah, it's just getting weirder and weirder and weirder, and it just seems like one big hologram now. And like you're saying, you can't, you know, when I look at things, I just stay in the observer mode and don't right. jump to one side or the other and just say, well, you know, it's possible. Maybe they did do this raid and maybe they did get him, or it's also possible that, you know, he could have been killed in 2001, which seems to be, you know, all the announcements with Fox News and everybody else, you know, announced that he was dead in 2001. that they got them in the mountains. Was it Tora Bora somewhere?
Tora Bora.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you go, come on, like now this is the ninth time, I believe, that they've announced that they got him. And
that's right. He has nine lives like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, and so how can you believe Fox News or these? I mean, I've been on Fox News before, you know, it's a real deal here is what's going on. But then again, I think about it. I go, how can you believe anything these guys are telling you anymore, any of the mainstream news, when they've given you completely conflicting stories that are so ridiculously obvious that like you're saying, it would just take the most extreme gullible mind to continue, you know, to accept this nonsense.
It is so humorous that we have a great graphic artist, Vig Giza, who makes a comic every week for Veritas. He's worked for Disney. He's worked for The Simpsons. Uh-huh. And this week, he actually put a list of the times that Osama bin Laden had been pronounced dead by many high-ranking officials around the world. That's how humorous this is. And he put a cat next to it with the face of Osama bin Laden because he's, you know, been dead more than a cat.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at this scenario where they're telling us that they have Osama bin Laden, you would think, let's pretend for a second that he was really responsible for the most technological and advanced attack on the most powerful country in the world from a cave in Tora Bora or in Afghanistan somewhere. Think about the plethora of information that he may have. Wouldn't you want to know how he was able to pull this off? Why kill him? Why not just, if they want to, as they're saying, waterboarding or what have you to get that information. If that is indeed true, why kill him? One. Second, they're saying that they were going to release the picture so that they could convince the world. And then they did a 180 degree and they desisted on doing so. But then somebody released four pictures of four men who died in the assault there, and they were in a pool of blood. So first they're saying, oh, we don't want to release these pictures because they're going to inflame the Muslim world and they're going to be a threat to U.S. interests and U.S. troops. But here we have four pictures of four of the men in a pool of blood, one of them with an orange water gun next to him. So I hope that those were not the guns that they were using. Then yesterday we saw the pictures, the alleged pictures of Osama bin Laden watching himself on a video. Some of them have been debunked already. If you look at the ears in comparison to the eyes, it doesn't seem to be the case. So what we're experiencing here is a big time mind control phase. And I fear, I'm not fearing as in the sense of fear, but I suspect that they're preparing for a new false flag event. And this is when and why they decided to put this information out for the world to see.
It does seem to be leading up to that. Now I know people, inside sources, very high up, you know, people in Germany and things like that, and they just laugh. They said Hitler never did die. He went to Argentina, and he actually just died not too long ago, just a few years back, I think. It wasn't very long ago where he did actually finally die. And they said, hey, you know what? If you don't believe me, go to Argentina and start making Hitler jokes and see what happens to you.
That's right.
You know, they said that there's a lot of Germans there that will probably take your head off, you know, so that are still extremely loyal. So, I mean, that was just one instance. But, you know, to me, it's like it just seems that almost everything when you look at it is just one big video game to these New World Order boys. And they've just been playing the world like sheep. And, you know, I developed a new word. I don't know if anybody's used it yet, but I called it
Shumby.
Huh?
Were you going to say Shumby?
No.
Oh.
It was sheepidity.
Good one.
Yeah. And I said, in the sheepidity, you know, it's like, it's you know, it's a combination of sheep and stupidity.
Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, I'm sure somebody else might have already used it. I don't know. But the it's just such a classic right now of what's going on. The sheep are just like led by the nose here, there. And, you know, you should be very afraid. You need this product. You know, it just goes on and on and on. You know, we need to protect you. It's a scary world out there. And, you know, just like just blasted constantly with, you know, with rapes and murders and wars, and you know, the boogeyman's out there, and it's all to perpetuate this program of, you know, you need us, you know, you need us to survive, basically.
There's this paternalistic way, and we keep talking during our show how, you know, 2 years ago, if anybody mentioned the term divine feminine, mm-hmm. once again, I would have thought, you know, what are you talking all this New Age stuff? And now I can tell you with every degree of certainty that when we talk about divine feminine, we need that force in this world to bring the balance that the planet needs. Mm-hmm. And since you're talking about South America, there's one thing that not a lot of people talk about, and some of you who listen to my show may know. But in the year 2006, I believe it was, George Bush, 43, through his daughter Jenna, purchased about 100,000 acres in Paraguay, sitting in the border of Argentina and Brazil, sitting on one of the largest aquifers in the world. And if any of you who are listening know about Paraguay, it's a Jesuit country full of Nazis. And it really makes you wonder what kind of vision President Bush and his family may have to be putting so much money into one of the largest places with water. I really think that in the future, wars may be fought not for oil, mm-hmm. but for water.
You know, I wholly agree with you. I've taken precautions here, and we have our own well now, and you know, I witched it myself and hit the mother load, which is great. But you know, so we have plenty of water here, always will, you know, as long as we have some way to pump it. But which is even on a hand pump, which is nice. But we're surrounded by rivers, and we have Glacier Springs water that comes from the top of the mountain and comes down to all the homes in the little rural town I live in. But, you know, still, I thought it's a good idea to you have your own water source, because it is. It's probably going to be worth its weight in gold in the future.
Yeah, many people talk about, well, you need to buy gold, you need to buy silver, which is true. You know, it maintains the value. But the problem is, in a future when scarcity may take over and you may not have, you know, something like water, how are you going to be able to transact? You know, I think instead of buying all that, buy seeds, buy stuff that you can, instead of putting food under your, and canned food, buy seeds that you can plant. Now, the problem is that many people live in the concrete jungle. People in Manhattan or Houston might be listening to us saying, yeah, right, where am I going to be able to plant all this stuff? But as you were saying, there's always fear. There's always a disease. If you turn on the TV, I cannot even tell you if I ever watch TV, I say probably about 70%. And depending on where you are in the United States, especially in places where there's a lot of retirement communities, 70% of the commercials are all about medicines, about mm-hmm. drugs, about how to make you feel better, your bones, your arthritis, this and that. And as President Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex. He really meant to say military-industrial-congressional complex. But to that, we can add surveillance complex, we can add the pharmaceutical complex, and we can have the penitentiary complex as well. It's the corporation who rules the entire world. We think that we go to the election, to the booth during November every 4 years to elect a president. When are we going to wake up that these people are anointed? They're not elected. We need to take charge. We need to be able to put our voices, instead of blogging only, stand up, do something. James is doing something. Mm-hmm. I tend to believe that I'm doing something for the betterment of humanity. So instead of talking, we need to start acting, just like our good friend John Lash says.
You know, I agree 100%. There, you know, the old saying, words without deeds are dead. And there are a lot of words out there, but nothing else going on. You know, putting your, you know, like all of us, you really think about it, you know, the people like you and I and all these other radio hosts, you know, if you look at the big picture, I mean, there's people that would like to see us go away. And I've had a couple attempts in that area and pulled through it. Luckily, I've always felt protected or somebody's kind of watching over me. But, you know, at the same time, you can't live in fear. You have to do what your soul is guiding you to do. And if it is to stand tall and stand up and say enough's enough, then basically that's what you have to do.
And today, some of you who listen, you probably know what the term MMS is, which is something that we use, and it saved my life. And I don't mean to talk about it to promote it, but I got an email today from Jim Humble, who's saying that he received information from a high-ranking source saying that get ready because the FBI has an order to kill you. Plainly, just like that. And because it's costing right now maybe thousands of dollars to the pharmaceutical industry, maybe in a few years millions of dollars. Apparently, the alternative health industry, and I just mentioned MMS as one, but many of you have heard that in Europe, they're really cracking down on, you know, sources of supplements. We recently, and since you're asking me about my impression on some of our guests, last year I had Dr. Betty Martini on my show to discuss aspartame and how, for example, Michael J. Fox, he suffers from Parkinson's, which was caused by Diet Pepsi, the aspartame. Yeah. But when you put all this information out and you become so vocal, you become a threat to the establishment. And the question in everybody's mind is, how can we circumvent it? Because right now they're raiding, even in California, even in Washington and Oregon, people who manufacture unpasteurized milk.
Yeah.
Well, they're raiding all of them. It's going to come to a point where, as I was saying with Dr. Betty Martini, she was diagnosed of breast cancer the same day, 25 years later, from where her mother passed away of breast cancer. She went to the doctor and they said, well, you have about, you know, X number of months to live. You need to go through chemo. And she said, no, I'm going to find another solution. Mm-hmm. And she found some herbs. And she was able to use that combination of herbs. In less than 60 days, she was completely cured. It's not remission. She went back to the doctor multiple times and her oncologist cannot even imagine how it happened. She essentially said that she changed her dietary routines. But what happened was the FDA found out about this. They went after the people who were growing those herbs, burned the fields, and essentially made the herbs illegal in the United States. When people listen to this stuff and realize, wait a minute, why is the government getting involved with a natural cure that does not make you lose your quality of life? Because that's what happens with many people who have cancer. They'll lose the quality of life in order to get some quantity of life. Mm-hmm. But what about those people who are finding new cures? I knew a lady many years ago. We spoke on the phone in my business, and she started telling me that she moved from the continental United States to Alaska. Why? Because she started experimenting with a lot of herbs. She had a son with muscular dystrophy. Well, she was able, with some herbs, she was able to cure him. But guess what? She got a threatened letter from the FDA, and she had to leave the continental United States. Now she's in Alaska, and she teaches people how to live and how to make your body's pH balance, alkaline, because, you know, I can go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. My point is that we are in the middle of a stage in our lives in which the government is really taking over every single opportunity for breathing, for eating, and for freedoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're experiencing that here as well. It's unbelievable the nonsense we're having to go through. The what's interesting too, as I've seen, is that, you know, basically Otto Warburg, I think something like 1927 or something like that, gave us the cure for cancer. And he said, all you have to do is raise the blood oxygen and raise the pH. And cancer is anaerobic. It backs it right out of the system. It can't exist. And so people came out with these therapies. And I worked with a German physicist that created oxygen water. He actually crystallized oxygen, suspended it in water. And you drink this and your blood oxygen would just go through the roof. And you get higher than a kite and you feel great and you have all this stamina. And he actually created pills, these oxygen pills. And you know, under these pills, you wouldn't have to breathe, basically. And I drove 17 hours straight, you know, eating these oxygen pills and got to Laughlin, Nevada to speak at one of the conferences there and was still wide awake and totally charged and felt great. And I met up with this chiropractor there that was really sick and wasn't feeling too good. And you know, I gave him a couple of the pills. I said, try these out. And it straightened him out. I'm trying to think of the, there's a guy, a South American UFO investigator, really well known, speaks at all the conferences. I'm forgetting his name for some reason.
It's
But
not Jaime Maussan, right?
no, the other guy, he has the,
Oh, AJ Gavard?
yeah, A.J. Gavard.
Yeah.
And he was there, and he wasn't even going to go on. He said, I can't go on. I am so sick. I have a burning fever, a headache, and everything. And I gave him some of this water and gave him some of the powder. And I said, try this. And, you know, he went on stage and he goes, you know, he goes, this guy calls me Gilliard. You know, he doesn't say my last name right. But he goes, yeah, he goes, this guy, James Gilliard, gave me this powder and this water. And 5 minutes later, I was dancing, you know. He said, I was feeling great. And this was all closed down, unfortunately. You know, all these things have been closed down. So these just amazing technologies are out there. And I've been looking into, I don't know if you, I'm sure you're probably looking at it too, but this hydrogen for fuel, you know, water for fuel, where they split into hydrogen and oxygen,
Yes.
is seems to be coming out of the woodwork right now, and it's showing up everywhere. And they've got people running their cars 100% now on water.
See, the problem is that the information is not making it to the mainstream. You know, you probably heard, and I've seen many videos years ago of individuals who were able to devise a motor that would run on water. But what happens is, you know, either you are subverted or you are destroyed. You get
Exactly.
one of the big three companies saying, hey, we're going to give you $1 billion if you give us the patent, and we're going to put it away forever. Well, apparently a couple of these people did not. Were not subverted, and they were destroyed. They disappeared. But, you know, you get, for example, I know one doctor in Japan. She is from Czechoslovakia, just to tell you the story. When she was about 16 in the 80s, the Russians at the time kidnapped her from her house because they identified her as a genius. Well, she defected. She defected to Australia and then to Japan, and now she has a large fertility clinic there. She's one of the few foreign people who is a Japanese citizen. Well, she was telling me this story that years ago, a high-ranking intelligence man from the United States was given probably a few weeks to die because he had a very strong form of cancer. He had batteries close to his organs, and he was being monitored 24/7 because of his high clearance. Well, he could not leave the country. He wanted to. Well, he was able to escape the country. I presume that maybe he did it through Mexico, and he was able to meet with her in Japan. In less than just a few months, he was completely cured from cancer when he was sent to hospice in the United States without any hope whatsoever. Of course, he's not back in the United States. God knows where he is. He may be in a beach somewhere as a bum, but hey, if that's the new lease in life, I'll take it anytime. So that's just an example that a lot of this information in the Western world is being sequestered because it's a threat to the establishment, to Big Pharma. And all you have to do is to find out who is in charge. Oil companies. Without oil, we cannot operate. Big Pharma and the military. Without a good conflict taking place, and this is from the report from Iron Mountain given to President Kennedy by Secretary McNamara, without a threat over our heads, first, people would not be in fear, and second, the military-industrial complex would not be able to grow, and the United States would cease to exist as the power that it is today. So unless we are able to choke the Hydra, I don't see any improvement to what's happening right now.
You know, there's an old saying that you know, the last hole card we have is nature, and probably this this, you know, alignment with galactic core, you know, in 2012 supposedly. I think it's coming before that. I think we're in it right now, but it just seems to be the only hole card we have left is for nature to collapse this system as we know it, or some higher intelligence to step in and just say enough's enough. Because what we have going on right now, you know, John Doe or whatever is not going to be able to deal with the powers that be unless there's just this mass awakening and empowerment that happens where people just, you know, finally rise up and just say, you know what, this has gone on way too long. I have a right to live a thoroughly loving, joyous, abundant life. That's my God-given birthright, and I'm going to take it back.
Absolutely. And I think that if Gaia, the planet, is alive, which I think it's definitely alive and conscious, like a dog, it may be, maybe have to shake its fleas or press the reset button and get rid of all those who are making it be the way it is. But recently I had George Cavazos on my show, who will coincidentally be will be at the East 80 Ranch very soon too. I got to tell you, for months I received people's emails saying, you need to interview George, you need to interview George. We finally got it done. And I have to tell you, we had this connection during that show, and we were talking about the sun. And all of a sudden, I said, you know, George, I get this feeling that chemtrails, and you know, I know you talk a lot about chemtrails, we can talk about it even more. But I get this feeling that in addition to maybe stratospheric geoengineering, maybe one of the reasons why we are being sprayed is because the sun is really transmuting matter. And if our DNA, which operates with photons like miniature laser beams, react to that light, we may be being blocked because of the chemtrails, and we not be maybe not getting the effects that we need to get. And somebody out there knows this, and that's what they're blocking the solar rays. Have you looked into this, James?
You know, I felt the same thing. I think it's a multifaceted situation. And I do know that the frequencies coming from the sun are changing, and that, you know, we're getting bombarded by neutrinos, and the physical matter is starting to decay much more rapidly. And their scientists are freaking out because they don't understand this process, that, you know, time is speeding up and things are moving faster and we're moving into a new frequency. It's not something to be afraid of. You know, it's something to embrace and move forward with. And the sun is just bombarding us with these energy packets of consciousness and energy, and, you know, altering DNA and everything else, and creating this just massive, I would say, a quantum leap in evolution that we're undergoing. And it does look like that might be a major part of the chemtrails, is to block this process, stop this process from happening.
And I think they're realizing that too, because I don't think that people just wake up one day and realize that the story that you have been told all your life has been fake. I remember back in 2005, that's when I really woke up one day and I said, you know, after 9/11, I started having doubts, but I was still the same person saying, there's no way our well-intended government could even remotely be responsible or at least know that this really happened to be a catalyst for wars and so on. So I really don't think that this is just happening out of the blue. Something, a hidden hand, is maybe having a force that's waking people up the way they are. Look at them now with the internet. Now, maybe 5-7 years ago, we did not have the same social networks that we have now. But we see it on Facebook. We see it on YouTube. We see it with people's phones. I think it's difficult for the secrecy to continue the way it is when people are the new witnesses. Somebody in Romania with a phone, maybe filming a UFO, and in less than a minute, I can be seeing it here in Arizona. Now, the problem is, with the advent of the internet, there's more probability that the disinformation and misinformation approach by the intelligence apparatus may be mixing more information. So how do we determine what is true and what is not?
Yeah, with me, I use my own gut, you know, my own gut feeling, you know, this looks right. And even then, some of the stuff is done so well, you know, there's some details. A lot of times, if it's such a clear and good photograph and everything else, a lot of times it is faked, just because the ships are very hard to film, and they usually have an energy field around them that distorts the cameras and things of that nature. But you know, there are some ships out there, and I think some of these really kind of hard metal ships that we're seeing in some of the photographs are either ours or there's some low-level contacts going on, you know, some base third-dimensional things happening. But you know, basically, most of the ships that we see here are you know, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional ships dropping down. They're either pure energy or light ships. They're not even part of this dimension. They have to drop in on us, and those are the guys you really want to hang out with. You know, you want to hang out with the higher ones, not the nuts and boltsers.
And you know, I find it very peculiar that in the era of the world where you are, you seem to be so lucky to have such a magnificent opportunity to see these craft and light beings and light ships that we don't tend to see in more populated areas. I know you're the one interviewing me, but I'm also curious to ask you, why do you think that area is so special?
Well, one thing is that it has a long, long history of UFO activity, you know, going back to the Native American lore. And they said there's a whole civilization underneath the mountain that they've worked with before, and they're highly evolved beings. They would take their sick and wounded up there, and they would take them in and bring them back, you know, totally healed. And so there's a lot of information about that, and they know all about them. They call it the fairy lights, where we see this crazy light activity all the time. They don't even go up in that area. They go stay away from that area. You know, they just leave it alone. But what's interesting is Kenneth Arnold, who coined the word flying saucer in 1947, lost the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams. You know, he was flying from Rainier towards Mount Adams. And so, you know, with the fire tower spotters and everybody going on record, and the tribal police and regular police and rangers and you name it have all gone on record having just ongoing sightings here. It's something that's just been going on since the beginning of any recorded history that we know about, and it's really escalating now. I've never seen so much activity and very large ships coming in and powering up and lighting up the sky and turning and just it's just incredible. They're like cosmic cheerleaders now, you know, coming in and saying, hey, you know, you're not alone. We're your higher family, you might say, and we're back, you know, and they're kind of giving us hope. Every time I see one, I feel, you know, totally exhilarated inside, and I feel lifted, you know, that there's hope, you know, there are advanced beings out there, because we're sure trashing the planet and each other. And it's good to know that there's something else, you know, happening that's beyond what we're doing.
You know, I just, if you look back in time, thousands and thousands of years ago, just in the last 100 years, what we have done to this planet, if we have to just maybe double it in the next couple of centuries, I really cannot see how the planet can continue to survive unless it just revolts and says, that's it. You guys are out of here, and we need to start all over again. I think this has happened in the past. But just a couple of stories. I've showed a few people some images that were given to me a couple of years ago from a gentleman in Switzerland. And they were orbs. They were, I don't know how to describe them, but there was an interaction in 1988 and 1992 with this gentleman and a friend. And he decided to take a bunch of pictures. This is before digital cameras. Mm-hmm. The friend decided, you know what, I need to make some color copies in case something happens. But I'm telling you the story because I recently interviewed Linda Moulton Howe. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the Rendlesham Forest event with Jim Peniston, who said that they were beings from the future. Well, this is exactly what my friend told me that these beings were. They even showed them just to prove some of their power. They were in the picture, they're shown dematerializing the car. And this is before CGI, folks. This is before digital cameras. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, you know, what's the reason? He showed me some of the machinery they were using to take samples from soil samples. And these are beings from the future. Once again, if you told me this a year or two ago, I would have thought you were nuts. Mm-hmm. But with an open mind and just thinking that everything is interesting, these are beings from the future coming back apparently to make certain changes so that their civilization in the future may survive. Mm-hmm. So it really makes you wonder if these craft that you see over you there may be people from the future who are coming to witness the event that we may be experiencing next year.
Yeah, you never know. There's so many variables here. Somebody asked me, they said, well, what do you think these UFOs are? Are they time travelers? You know, are they coming back from the future? Are they coming from another planet? Are they coming from another dimension? You know, or are they coming from the inner Earth? You know, what do you think they are? And I just said, all the above. And that's been my experience. I've experienced all the above, and it's so vast, you know. But we have to realize humans by nature are a very aggressive race. We're a very fearful race, very aggressive race. You know, we react in fear what we don't understand, and sometimes we react very aggressively and harmful, you might say, to ourselves and other beings as well, if we don't understand what's going on. So it makes sense that they would keep their distance, you know. And somebody else asked me, well, why don't they just land on the White House lawn? And I told them, there's not a lot of intelligent life there, for one thing.
And, right. You
know, yeah, and the other thing is that they would be shot
regardless of the political party, by the way.
Yeah, and they would be shot at, dissected, you know, the technology would be stolen, used in the war industry. What's the point? I said, you want them to land, stop shooting at them. Stop bringing up your most aggressive new technologies and trying to shoot them down and steal their technology in that nonsense, and start greeting them as brothers and sisters, you know, as the extended family of man. And you might start having some contacts and having some understanding about who they are. But, you know, why would anybody in their right mind want to come to Earth from another planet knowing that that is the greeting that they're going to get?
You know, I'm going to say this. I'm not authorized to name names, but today I have a friend who is a professional golf instructor. And I have forgotten. I didn't receive his email a few days ago, but he emailed saying, Mel, I have this very known general, retired general, who I don't know if I revealed the name by saying that at one point he was running for president, but he was playing golf with this general, and my friend had his father was involved with intelligence and secret spacecraft in, you know, World War II, I think it was. But anyway, they started talking, and they started, you know, talking about stuff that you would not be listening to in the mainstream media. And the bottom line was that this general became a little upset, not at my friend, but he said, they're here, it is true, and he said these words, and I don't mean to use them, but he says, God damn it, they're real, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I honestly think, James, that part of the secrecy, in large, is because if they come with their free energy, well, the oil companies go under, and the cures may go, the pharmaceutical companies. But more than anything else, I think that it's about the secrecy, because they are not competition for us. There's nothing that we can do to surpass them in technology, in warfare, you name it. And the egotistic people on the top cannot deal with that, to tell the population, look, these people are millions of years perhaps more advanced than us, and there's nothing we can do about it. And I think that alone could create the panic. That's just my opinion recently.
Oh, I agree. One of the beings that we had contact with, Blagie, she was coming. She's a Pleiadian coming from 2 million years out of the future, from already a very advanced race. So if you took an extremely advanced race and then, you know, evolved them 2 million years and then had them come back as teachers, you know, I asked her, I said, well, are we like monkeys, you know, to you? What? And she said, no. You know, no. And I said, well, you know, it's hard for me to believe that, you know, 2 million years that you would come back and try to work with us considering our present evolution and how you would even sync up or anything. And she just made it very clear. She said, you know, she says, we're not higher or lower than you. She said, everything is even in the eyes of God. And she just made it very clear that you're our younger brothers and sisters, and we're coming back to help. And she said, no, there's no, we understand, you know, we had our wars, we had our evolution, we had our challenges, We transcended it. We understand. And there's no judgment there from these beings. And they're just in pure service mode. They don't have any agenda. They don't need anything from us. There's nothing to take. And it's just amazing when you see the evolution of these beings, who they are and how they would come back and try to assist us, even though, you know, we are still, you know, throwing stones at each other and just, you know, crapping in our own backyard, excuse my language, and,
right,
you know, destroying our environment and everything else. They're still coming back and saying, come on, kids, you know, wake up, you know, everything's connected. We're all one. We all came from the same source. We all return to the same source. And, you know, their messages are almost biblical when you hear them talk and what they, you know, they do talk about God, but it's not the God, you know, that we think, that most people think of. You know, people ask me, do you believe in God? And I always say, which God?
Yeah.
You know, right. You've got the Greek gods, you know, you've got the Egyptian gods, you've got the, you know, there's so many gods out there, you know, that, you know, you have to go, okay, which one? You know, the Hindu gods, you know, there's so many Muslim gods, you name it. But, you know, bottom line is that who created them? You know, where did they come from? So I do believe there's a vibrational continuum, and there are beings that are so vast we can't even fathom who they are, and they don't even have physical bodies anymore. They don't need them. They're just pure consciousness and energy, and they're just, when you connect with these beings, the love and the joy and the bliss and that security you feel when you connect with them is just beyond imagination.
And of course, they may be looking at us thinking, the kids have found the matches, and that's yeah. what worries them. But, uh-huh. you know, in the conventional wisdom from people, we all look back in the, you know, 1500s, what happens to a more advanced, a lesser advanced civilization? Well, when I say lesser, I mean it in an arrogant way, because when the conquistadors came to America, uh-huh. they thought of themselves as superior, and the natives were merged into them, and which civilization disappeared. I don't have to go into this. Uh-huh. So many say, well, we taught them all the trade. We taught them, we gave them religion and this and that. But I had this conversation with John Lamb Lash. What about what they had here before? They were in touch with nature. They were coexisting in peace. And I also talked with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, a few years ago about this very topic. I said, what's going to happen in the future if the planet cannot sustain, you know, here for us? And he said that we need to be able to go to other planets and be able to terraform and get out of here, because otherwise humankind will cease to exist. And I said, but, you know, when an extraterrestrial being comes to this planet, isn't it ironic to be able to see the lines of demarcation between countries, different languages, different religions, different opinions in every way? Don't we need, and I hope those who are listening are not thinking that I'm an advocate for a new world order, because I'm totally not, but don't we need a more united world? If you go to another planet and you see so many countries and division, you want to get out of there. You don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Don't we need a unity as a planet, so that when somebody comes here, we can speak as one and not as 6 billion people in totally different lines of demarcation?
You know, I agree with that. I think I basically believe in you know, one planet, one people, that whole concept, that we need to start moving in that direction, but not under the thumb of some dictator or some,
right.
or, you know, the greed, you know, the power and the greed mongers in that group, you know, but I think the thought that, you know, we all came from the same source, we'll all return to the same source. You know, you can have your culture and your belief, because that may be why you're incarnated, to have that experience. Diversity is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to stop with the program of division and demonizing other people and not understand. I mean, I have friends come here from Iraq, from Jerusalem, from everywhere, all over the world. Wonderful people. Everybody gets along. The people of the world would totally get along. It's the governments that go to war and you know, the mega corporations that control the governments, that's where the wars come from. It doesn't come from the people. You know, the people just want to get along and with each other. They want to live in harmony and have food on their table, or I can't remember what Bush used to say, food on their faces or something. you know, it's like, that's basically what they want. They don't want the wars. They don't want the nonsense. You know, they don't want to have anything to do with it. The vast majority, you have to be programmed for that. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing, you know, with all the video games and everything else and all the, you know, movies, and it's all gung-ho. I think Avatar was just a classic in getting that information out on,
yes,
on corporations versus nature.
Absolutely. I make that comment all the time. And we think that this is just a science fiction movie, but this is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Not only to the indigenous people in America, but in Australia, in Europe, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And I hate to say it because it may sound like I'm anti-religious. I'm not. But usually when you have a religious person of a different faith, what do they say? My God is better than yours. Yeah. And my God is better than the other. And if you look at most of the conflicts that humankind has experienced in the last thousands of years, it's always been the same. Mm-hmm. Extreme religion. Oh, the Christians don't kill. No, wrong. Oh, the Muslims don't kill. You know, everybody has done something. And recently, I hate to even watch these videos, but we are so desensitized these days. A few weeks ago, somebody sent me a video of I forgot which country in Africa, but they were burning women and men, Christians, Muslims, were burning them alive. And then today somebody sent me another one in Indonesia where they were just killing, stoning this man because he did not agree with their faith either. You know, we are in the third millennium. Mm-hmm. This is the 21st century.
Yeah.
When I see these images, James, I sometimes want to push a button, get out of here, and say, you know what? I cannot deal with this just looking at these pictures. You know, what is it going to take for people to realize that this is not the answer? Look at Africa, the continent of Africa. It has all the resources that anybody could imagine, minerals. It's rich in so many aspects, yet is the poorest region of the world. Why is it? Because of corporations, once again. So unless we start choking those corporations, and that's why the government hates the word cooperatives and neighborhood cooperatives. Catherine Austin Fitz is somebody who talks about this, when you can barter and transact with your people in your neighborhood, and where you are in a rural area would be a primordial place to start something like this. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to put a stop to all this nonsense.
Oh, I agree. I think it is basically going to go back to that because, you know, from what I'm seeing, basic in the future, that this grid is going to go down just because of the energies coming in and what's happening and just the amount of protons and everything else that are starting to gather here. They're having some real serious problems already in you know, the upper atmosphere, where huge energy, like, you know, some people call them energy dragons or loops of energy are moving around and they don't know what they are or how to control them. So it's a matter of time before one of these big solar flares or coronal mass ejections just says, okay, end of story. And, you know, I don't want to be a doom and gloomer. I don't think it's doom and gloom, because when that grid goes down, all of those oppressive energies that keep people in confusion and dumbed down and in the lower frequencies are going to stop. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to have this huge awakening. And go, wow, you know, all of a sudden I feel great. You know, I feel free. What happened? You know, who flipped the switch? And, you know, and when that time comes, you're going to want to know where your food is and where your water's coming from. And you know, it's not that big a deal to grab a bag of rice and beans and throw them in the closet, you know, just to, you know, old saying, what is it? Praise Allah, tie your camel.
You know, that's
what I go by, but at the same time, I don't want to do fear and doom and gloom. That's not my program either. But you're right,
and this may be the case. That might be the reset button Dr. Paul LaViolette talks about a Carrington event that happened in the late 1800s, and this is before electricity. Yeah. But if we had, if it had happened today, it would have taken us 10 years for us to get our electricity back, because that's how long it takes to manufacture the transformers. But, you know, I'm from the Caribbean, where we were victims of hurricanes year after year after year. And this happens a lot in the United States. I bet you a lot of people who are listening to the show may not even know who their neighbors are.
Yeah.
But when hurricanes would come along and we would lose electricity for a week or two and water, that's the moment when people would get out of their houses and look at their neighbors and extend a hand, and everybody would help each other. When the electricity would come back and life would come back to normal, everybody would go back to their, let's call it, matrix. But isn't it interesting, when we are in chaos like this, that's when human beings, almost like a switch turns on, and we, without thinking of getting something in return, we just give without the expectations of receiving.
Oh, I agree. You know, I always like to end, you know, the radio shows on a message of hope. And you know, what I see is we are going to go through a rocky road and tough times getting through this process. But on the other end of this process is something amazing. And, you know, we are going to reunite with the rest of the universe. You know, the manufactured lack and the greed is going to end, and all these new technologies are going to come out, you know, the earth-friendly technologies. And I just see an awesome thing at the end of this bumpy road that we're on, and it's worth sticking around for. I know a lot of people are feeling very distressed and very stressed, you know, and trying to figure out what's going down, and they're in that confusion, fear program and things like that. But, you know, it's time to just get centered, you know, get calm, get centered, become the observer, and know on the other side of this, it's just going to be an amazing planet.
Absolutely. And be open-minded. As James says, you don't have to believe anything. Just like I said, like James says, I put most of the things I hear in my "it's interesting" bucket.
Yeah.
And to me, people say to me, well, Mel, you're interviewing this and that. They're questionable. Sometimes I have a guest on the show where people absolutely rave and they email me loving it. And at the same time, other people with the same guest, they say, Mel, what were you thinking? Look, folks, truth is a buffet. It's information. You define information the way you see fit. It's objective or subjective. Basically, I put a buffet out there. Same thing as James is doing. We put a buffet of information out there, and you decide what you want to sample. I put this in my mouth. If I don't like it, I spit it out. And if I want it more, I eat more. But nobody's going to tell us you should not. You shouldn't discuss A topic, B topic, or C topic. Mm-hmm. It's part of the puzzle. Everybody has a piece of the puzzle, and it's our job to discern and put that puzzle to the best of our ability. The day when I'm no longer in this plane in the future, I want to be able to say, you know what, James and everybody else, I try my best, and I think I get a good piece of a good view from where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I always tell people, you know, nobody has the whole pie, you know, but you got to use discernment, and eventually, if you know, listen to enough, you'll have a better portion of the pie than others. But you got to, you know, stay out of judgment and you know, again, master that observer state. You know, unfortunately, we're out of time, Mel. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. You're always a great host to come on the show. We're two hosts sitting here talking together. The best way for to people get a hold of you would just be through the Veritas show, right?
Yep, that's it. Just go. By the way, what a pleasure to be with you. Say hello to all my friends up in East City. I'll see you soon. Yeah, great. Just go to veritasshow.com and you'll get all of it.
Sounds great. Anyway, thanks a lot for coming on the show. We'll do it again soon.
My pleasure. Take good care.
All right.
Bye for now.
This is James Wigillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.